So yeah, I'm John. I'm an addict and alcoholic, and my sobriety date is October the 5th of 1986. So I've been around a while. I got to AA when I was young, and fortunately, I've stayed sober, and that has allowed me to have a fantastic life. If I would have drunk again, then it would have all gone down the tubes, as we see happening. Those of us who hang around AA for a while, you know, we see that happen. So, yeah. Well, okay. Well, Clifford cut to the short version of that. Clifford and originally asked me to share on some other step some other week, but now it's today in this step 7. And I got to say that of all the steps in the original way that those are written, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. I mean, I'm really glad that you guys read some other versions of that, because I don't think there's any way at all that I could relate to that, because I'm a non-believer, and I don't really, yeah, I just don't relate to that. And I think I should stay, I should also say, I'm probably not the best person at all to talk about steps, because I don't think that steps are a panacea. And I think that there's a lot of obsessive compulsive thought in AA about steps and the importance of doing them, at least in traditional AA. And again, in secular AA, I think there's definitely at least two ways of thought that, you know, it's very, very important to work the steps. And then there are those of us, I think, who don't. I think there are elements in the steps which are very good, like the element of, okay, I don't drink one day at a time, like the element of, yeah, making amends to people, like the element of helping other people, and yeah, staying sober. But there's a lot in there that I think is related to very Christian thought. And let's go to this one in particular. So, you know, if I did these things, which I think it somehow is about sin, right? You know, I sinned, and, you know, if I can be saved, then, you know, I won't sin anymore. It seems, you know, I was raised in Texas, and there was a lot of very churchy stuff going on there, of course. And yeah, it just seems like this is kind of like a watered down version of salvation, you know, like, okay, if I do these steps, I'm saved. If I do these steps, I'll be in a good mood. If I do these steps, my life will be full and meaningful. And if I don't, of course, there's always, you know, the counter thought, which is, if I don't work the steps, and there's threats, you know, it's like, oh, you know, either you're going to drink, or you're going to be a dry drunk, or you're going to, you know, something bad will happen to you if you don't follow these things to the letter. That's a lot of traditional AA groups are that way. And so for me, there are some good elements in the steps. And so I try to, you know, maybe take those out. But in this one, I don't see much. I guess I would say if I could paraphrase in some way, I would say that the step for me was, you know, would be like, develop my sober self, or develop my sober life, and through not drinking and through other things. So, you know, when I got to AA, I gotta say, I didn't have very strong personality development. Like many of us, also, I didn't have much self-esteem. I didn't have very good social skills, because my, you know, when I drank and did drugs, I went, you know, fucking crazy. And I had, like, let's say, a Dr. and Jekyll, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde personality. When I drank, I became a different person. And hangover, the whole drinking and drugging life was really insane, and I was insane, and so I had a shitty life, and I hated myself, and I hated other people, and it was, you know, I was miserable. So, you know, I also don't agree with the traditional AA concept of it's my personality defects somehow that caused me to be an alcoholic, or that are very, you know, there's this whole character defect thing. That my take is that alcoholism is a kind of an illness, and that there's definitely a genetic component to the illness. And so if there is this genetic component, then, you know, is it really, you know, my problem was not me. My problem was alcohol and drugs. As soon as I stopped the alcohol and drugs, then things gradually, and it was very slow at first, of course, because I was a wreck, because I had, you know, I was just used to getting high all the time, and I didn't immediately change things in my life. But as long as I didn't drink, as long as I didn't do drugs, things slowly but surely got better. And I think it's that way for very, very many people in AA. And, you know, so I don't really think that you know, people in recovery have any more character defects or have any more shortcomings than any other human beings. I don't see why we should. But that doesn't mean that I don't, you know, I mean, of course I have shortcomings. Of course, you know, nobody's perfect, right? So there are things in AA that helped me, because for me, AA is not a spiritual program. It's a practical program. And the first practical thing was like not drinking one day at a time. And then there are all these behavioral things, which are also good. And I think, you know, so for me, there are character traits maybe it's negative emotions more than character traits, which I have to really watch out for. And I guess I also have to that I'm taking good care of myself. So if you go to the book Living Sober, which for me is the best of the regular AA books, there's the thing about hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. You know, if I take good care of myself and I get enough sleep and I eat well, but not too much. And anger is a big thing. And I remember the chapter in that Living Sober about anger is really good, you know, because it lists a lot of different forms of anger. Now, I don't know, like sarcasm, like, I forget the list. I haven't read the book in a long time either, but you know, it's good. And for me, you know, I don't want to be an angry person. And so in my relationships with other people, you know, I want them to work well. And, you know, when, you know, staying sober is easy, and, you know, being relaxed and calm and, you know, cool is easy when things go my way. But when things don't go my way, when people piss me off, when the people at work are assholes, when, I don't know, people in AA are assholes, when you know, I have, in French we say accrochage, when we have like arguments or whatever with other people, well, it's like, how can I come out of those? Because I don't want to be like the angry guy. You know, that's one thing I want to stay away from. But it also doesn't mean that I'm a doormat, you know, that I let people take advantage of me. You know, like setting clear boundaries with other people is also very important. And you know, all this kind of stuff I learned because I'm sober and because I hang around people in AA, and there's a lot of different talk about all these kind of behavioral things. The other thing that's really good that, and I think it's either in the big book or one of the regular AA books, is this thing about restraint of tongue and pen. You know, and for me, when I deal with other people and we're in difficult situations, I think my initial tendency is just to like let people have it, you know, because I don't tend to be, at least at this point in my life, a shy person. And, you know, I'm just going to let people walk over me. I tend to be maybe sometimes overreactive. And if I'm, again, not in a good mindset or whatever, then I can react, you know, very, very strongly. And I've had, you know, over the years, I've had very, very strong arguments and disagreements with other people. But, you know, arguments and disagreements, those are part of life. The thing for me is, how do I handle stuff as maybe a mature person instead of just like completely flying off the handle and just going crazy, and you know, and then what do I do, you know, when that happens? Hopefully at this point in my life, I'm able to learn from my mistakes. And I think that's another important thing in sobriety, is that, yeah, I make mistakes all the time, and that's okay. And that doesn't hit my self-esteem. But, you know, when I make a mistake, you know, I generally know it, and I want to try and learn from mistakes. And so I remember I had when I'm down in Sicily, I think about this fairly often, because I had a huge argument with an Italian woman who was like working for us on this house and taking care of it. And she's also a yoga teacher, so she's supposed to be, of course, very spiritual. We had three dogs down here at the time, and one of the dogs just completely attacked the other dogs, and she was like, tried to blame it on me, and I just got, you know, furious, and you know, just like, and I just blew up at this lady, and I called her a stronza, which is a really mean Italian word, and you know, just like, and you know, and my partner was there when I had this thing. He's like, I've never seen you like that. Why did you do that? You know, and I was like, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. And okay, so you know, I did apologize to the woman for a while. I didn't really speak to her, but then you know, you got to kind of like figure, is it really worth it, you know, just be like holding all that shit in? It's like, yeah, I don't need to have these kind of anger and resentments of people all the time. You know, that goes without saying, however, that person, you know, because of the way that she treated me, I keep her pretty much at arm's length, and I spoke to her, and she has COVID now, and I called her and said, I hope she's okay. And I wouldn't again, it just is different. And, you know, over time that shit will change. But for me, a lot of times, and again, I go back to restraint of tongue and pen. And I also remember, you know, I've written things to people, and once stuff is written, whether it's, you know, I used to get like at work, I used to get in these fucking email wars with people, you know, it's like, da, 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 da. And then I realized, you know, at some point, if you want to solve some kind of disagreement with somebody, email is definitely not the way to do it. It's like, call the person up, talk to the person, and resolve the issue, you know? So, you know, I like to be transparent about who I am and what I think. And yeah, it's good. You know, it's funny in the meeting. And this is another thing about steps. That's not step seven in particular, but we started the secular meeting in Paris like 15 or 20 years ago with a few of us. And over the years it's evolved. And then we had the COVID and all this stuff. And when we started that meeting, we used the steps, which they were like, I think they were called the agnostic 12 steps. And the meeting was called the agnostics meeting. And then, and they always read the steps and all this stuff. And I got really sick of hearing those steps, basically just the regular steps, just with the word God removed. And I took the meeting back over as the leader right after COVID. And then there was somebody else who said, well, let's read these practical 12 steps sometime. So we just like printed them up and started reading those. And then this woman got furious. She said, why are we not reading the agnostic steps? And I was like, well, I don't know. Come to the business meeting and we'll talk about it. And she like threw a fit. You've changed the meeting. You've done this, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, you know, I guess we can just vote on it. And so the compromise that we came up with, and it made her even more furious, is that now we don't read any steps in the meeting. We just read the preamble and we go on with the meeting. So, And she's like, I will never come to this meeting again. And so I was like, well, you know, I don't know why people are like that. But on the other hand, you know, I can understand, because I can't go to regular AA anymore and hear that same stuff that I heard for so many years. Maybe I'm digressing from step seven. I don't know. I think I've said pretty much most of what I wanted to say. But again, the question for me is, you know, how do I continue to develop my sober life or my sober self, my sober personality? And it is really, in the end, somehow all about balance. It's all about health. It's like taking good care of myself, having close friends, and you know, going to meetings and having the connection with sober people is very, very important, a continuing connection. And these meetings, the Zoom meetings have been wonderful because they've connected us in ways that we were never connected before, with people we've never, who are not in our own communities. And the result has been a strengthening by, you know, for me, it's like unfathomable that, you know, there are so many of us who look at things in a different way than the people in AA, regular AA, look at it. At that, you know, it's, for me, it's so much more honest. It's so much more transparent. And I don't feel like I have to repeat some kind of dogma or, yes, that everyone is telling their own truth, which it's, for me, is so refreshing than having to read out of the big book, for example, or out of the 12 and 12 and the stuff that, you know, at some point for me, after so many AA meetings, you know, and not really having the so-called higher power and not really, you know, doing all the stuff, I just, you know, it just became that it's very, very difficult to relate to. So for me, an important part of continuing to develop my sober self is to continue to be active in the secular AA program. As I said, I don't go anymore to traditional AA, even though there's very nice people there. And one of my closest friends is, a devout Episcopalian, and, you know, she, you know, we're very close, but, you know, and she goes all the time to those meetings, but I don't get anything out of it. And other than, and I feel also like when I hear stuff, I have to like kind of out myself, like I'm an atheist and I don't believe that. So I don't believe in a higher power. And, you know, it's like, oh God. And then you get into an argument and then people will say, it just became too much effort for me. And that's why I'm so glad these Zoom meetings are here. But on the other hand, there is a bit of, it is different than going to a regular AA meeting where I have to put in the work to go there. I have to go early. I have to actually listen to people and, you know, pretty much sit in the meeting the whole time. And I can't just turn off my camera or whatever and clean the house or, you know, I don't know, look at another screen and see what's going on there. You know, this is really good. And I've enjoyed this, and it's really enriched my sobriety. But I think we have to, in order to, for me to help reevaluate myself and my shortcomings or whatever, it's so important to know what other people go through, how other people are dealing with a sober life. Because really, isn't that what it's all about? Is that, I mean, normal people, if they need to, you know, if they're, you know, worried about something or they're angry or whatever, they can just, like, you know, go have a cocktail and relax. Well, we don't have that luxury. You know, I don't have that luxury. That would be disastrous. So I have to live one day at a time with the mistakes I make, with my shortcomings. And you know, I don't think my shortcomings are going to go away, but it's something you know, that, yeah, that it's not a big deal. Okay, I have a shortcoming, so what? I mean, I think that was another thing, is that, you know, I wanted to be, there's this thing about, you know, being better than somebody or being worse than somebody. Now, can I just be me? Can I just be transparent? You know, I most of the time I like myself. Most of the time my relations with people are pretty good. You know, I have friends, and I have very close friends in AA, and less friends outside of AA, but also friends outside of AA. And again, the most important thing for me, or one of the most important things, is to have good relationships with other people. And that's something that has to be constantly worked at. I've been with my partner for 24 years, and it's still a relationship that, you know, I have to work at. And, you know, there are times where it, you know, it was definitely not going well at all, to the point where we separated, you know, but with some therapy and, you know, with some help and with the love that we felt for each other, well, we got back together, and, you know, and that's been a few years ago now too. So again, I guess what I want to say is that my life is great because I'm clean and sober, and everything that I can do to support my clean and sober life works. It doesn't have to be a narrow thing written in 12 sentences or in books, or but those, some different books have helped at different times. And I mentioned Living Sober, and, you know, like in a lot of the meetings I go to, we read Joe C's book, and sometimes I hate those readings, and sometimes I think they're really spot on. And so there are so many resources now available for those of us who have this illness. And so there's no reason to go back out. There's no reason to, there's always a reason to go back out, but there's never a good one, the one that's good enough. And there is so much help out there. So if you're new, and if you're, you know, you're like unsure of, is this for me or not for me? And I would say, well, what people have always said, you know, people do not come to AA by some mistake, you know, or people said, people don't come to AA because we sang too loud in church. We all came here because we were miserable. Again, like I said, I hated myself. I hated other people. I hated my fucking life. And yeah, it was because, but you know, I did it to myself. I was self-destructive to the max. And the fact that I'm, you know, just the fact that I made it out of my 20s, I mean, that's a fucking miracle, you know. And but then, as long as I didn't drink, there were solutions to be found. And those solutions for me are in other people, that other people have helped me so much to develop my sober self, to develop my personality, to help me. That, you know, the good thing about AA people is you're not going to shock anybody what you tell them. And you know, no matter what you've done, you know, it's like, if it's the right person, they'll, most people in AA are willing to help other people. There are some psychotic nuts as well. So be careful. there are many healthy people, and the people that I relate to the most, the people that I've become connected to the most, are those of you in these secular meetings. And I'm very happy to be a part of those. And yeah, to continue to develop my sober life, my sober self that way. So that's it for me, guys. I hope I've helped somebody, and I hope I've made some sense. Thanks.